Welcome to Christ Today. We want to know Jesus, and we want to feel the love that God Jesus has for us. And we want to love Jesus back because we feel his great and amazing love. It's something we do because we feel the genuine love of Jesus Christ, and we want to experience that for eternity. And so we choose to follow Jesus. And amen. Our Lord shows us the way to Jesus, and amen. We have opportunities all through life to experience everything. And we learn to evaluate and to choose a path we will follow, how we will be kind or even selfish. And are we going to elevate our own self, or are we going to elevate Jesus and others? It happens in different ways, and we have choices as we go through life. Wonderful choices, and God has shown us many examples in his guidebook, the Bible. And it shows us examples of who we can become with the choices that we make. Our Bible is awesome, and we have a choice to follow God's path, a path to God in our life, and it is with his love and his instructions. It is interesting that we all seem to follow the rules around us, maybe for the house we live in, maybe society's rules, and maybe the government rules. But what about God's rules in the Bible? I guess we do and we don't. And ultimately, we know we are going to face Jesus, who is our judge, after we die. And I think that death is something we often fear because it's a new experience and we're uncertain about it. Or it might be that we fear God's perfect and righteous judgment when we die. Well, we want to choose to follow Jesus, and in that way we will have no fear of death because we know our future is with God in a heavenly place, and amen. Well, the world we live in has so much uncertainty in it, and we make choices that we are actually uncertain about. Nowadays, there's many choices in life, and somehow or other, we get to make the choices, and we estimate how they will determine our future. Will our future be complicated or simple and loving? Well, we have these parts around us that we have to know what we are going to do, who we are going to follow. Will it be our own will or will it be God's will? That's a part of what we do in life. And there can be troubles with people or situations or laws. There can be problems like the Bible talks about with famine and earthquakes or war. And somehow we have that guidebook, the Bible, and we get to seek how we will deal with the interactions with other people in life. It's a lot of things that we deal with, and we do that in the best way we know how. And I hope we look into the Bible for examples of what we can do. Now, we do have typical behavior that we have learned in society, and to change a habit can be quite difficult to do. But sometime we get the instruction out of the Bible that we are to change a habit, to change a behavior, so that we work towards the holiness of God and obedience to God. Now, there's some things that are just plain socially bad behavior, which we learn to modify, if we have been involved with smoking or drinking or some other habit, and somehow we learn to modify our habits, whether it's a simple thing like getting up at a certain hour every morning or having a cup of coffee for breakfast. These are habits, and sometime we have to adjust our habits to comply with the will of God. And I'm not telling you that the habits that you have are either complying or not complying. I just mean it's a question. And how do we overcome something that is a habit so we can align our life with God's will? Habits can be quite difficult to stop. I mean, we have the habits, like I said, getting up at a certain time or having that coffee or the meal in the morning or evening, whatever that is. Not easy to change habits. Here's an example of a habit that's incredibly hard to change. Flushing the toilet after you use it. Now, I remember once the water main in front of the house broke and there was no water for a couple of days. And you could hardly keep from flushing the toilet because we are in that habit. Habits can be good, like flushing the toilet, brushing your teeth, or making it to an appointment on time. Some habits are desirable, and some of them are, well, they're just habits that you want to reevaluate, especially if there are troubles going on in the world around us. If there is conflict, we might not want to continue with a habit that we are always doing. And just look around us. We can see that there are troubles with fires and floods all over the world. And, of course, we can pray about them. And praying is a good thing to do. And the next step we do is an action. An action maybe to prepare for if there is an emergency. So the part about a habit is that we might want to change a habit because there is a new situation, which you could call an emergency. It's just that there is something else going on that we want to consider. And we do that because we want to avoid the trouble that our habits will bring us. So we seek to change them. It's kind of easy to see what will happen sometime. And Proverbs 22:3 and Proverbs 27:12 tell us that a wise person sees the danger that is ahead and avoids it. So we want to be able to adjust our path to avoid trouble. And that's the kind of concern we have about habits, that we might need to change something we are doing, whether it's driving a certain way to work or getting gas when the tank is at a quarter full. Maybe we should get our gas when it's three quarters full or half full. Or buy groceries twice a week instead of once a week. The thing is sometime we have to look at our habits and evaluate them for what we want to do. Because we know the days are changing, the things are going to happen in the future that we have not experienced in the past. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us about what is going to come in the future. It will be earthquakes and famines and wars and rumors of war. So we can get through a whole lot and live through the troubles that are coming, but we might not want to keep our old habits. And this is something that we might have to evaluate and change within our own life. Getting food can be a big one. Having a supply of water, having an ability to cook without electricity, or having heat, staying warm without the normal central heating that we have. So there might be things that we need if our normal stops functioning. The normal for cooking food, for instance. The normal for going to an event or something else. we have to look at what we can expect if there are troubles in the world. We think we can get food when we want to at the grocery store, and we know that there is about a 3-day supply of food in each grocery store. So what happens if we can't get the food? It sure takes a lot longer if we have to plant garden seeds with the tools that we have, water the seeds and grow them. So this is another part of how habits can be very good and be a new concern. If we ever had to grow food or even hunt for food, it would change life tremendously, and maybe we would want to have a nice storehouse of food for in case trouble comes along. Well, there's all sorts of things that we might want to have on hand if that kind of trouble comes. We might want a radio to hear the weather report or to hear the news of what's going on around us. Everybody has a different idea of what they need to have or want to have in case some kind of difficulty comes along in your neighborhood and the society and country that we live in, including that we will need to help one another. And that is another thing that changes, especially if we don't have the normal things that we have. What if we couldn't buy gas or groceries? Because if the electrical grid went down, it broke, then what would we do without electricity? I'm sure there would be troubles all over the country, all over our own neighborhood, as people felt a great need to have whatever was normal for them. Maybe it was just to eat. Maybe it was to buy gas. I mean, there's lots of things that are normal, and we have to be cautious about what we expect and what we can have on hand so that we can live through a time of hardship, which would be different for all of us. And we don't know what could happen. Well, maybe we do know what could happen. After all, Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about it. Earthquakes, famine, and war, pestilence. All these things we know are coming, but we don't know when. So let's remember to get prepared for the just in case, because all sorts of things happen, and it could be a disorder to our neighborhood or our society. There could even be terrorism and war. So let's get a little bit of supplies so that we can make it through a time of difficulty. Whatever the possibilities are, we want to avoid trouble, and we can have the basics of food and supplies available if we just think about it and make a plan. We do have expectations about what our future holds and how there will be good things everywhere for us. All people think about how good things are going to be, but we know it's not always good and wonderful. Now, I've heard things from people who are, well, they're all, every sort of people. They might be prophetic people. They might be government preparedness people. They might just be people on the radio who talk about what is coming and that we should get prepared with the things that we might need that will be different from our normal and wonderful experience in life. There can be problems. There can be big problems. And everything can happen in life. Make sure that you have an examination so that you know what kind of things are important if there is a trouble here or there. Now, I've looked around and I've seen concerns that I have had just as I've lived in life and seen the troubles that come along in business and personal life and in the country. Lots of things happen, and especially if you go outside of this country, we see more trouble than we could imagine, and there is big problems in other countries. The trouble that I see is we are going right down that same road that has brought the big troubles to other countries. And now America is also on that path to trouble. But the habits keep us from preparing for that kind of trouble. And we know that there are people who shout, death to America. And there are people who really do want to see America fall and collapse. So what should we do if we have had decades of overspending our money as a government and as an individual? We get into debt, and how can we make it through what is probably going to be a coming depression? How do we do it? And I know there's some people who say, oh no, everything will be perfect and terrific. And yet there have been experts, financial people. I remember about 4 years ago, I named the names and their positions and their quotes for what they were expecting in the future. And the thing is the financial situation has hardly changed from 4 years ago, because the things that were trouble then continue in the same path or have gotten worse. And therefore, we can just wonder if we're going to have a deteriorating financial system in America. It sure looks like it. And therefore, we say, what can we do about it in case it does happen soon? Now, there are facts that we have to look at, and it's a matter of looking at what is a real concern and not getting too thinking about the habits that we have developed. And that's the thing about habits. If we just follow our habits, we will live a life where everything will work, and we don't have to have a plan or a concern about what might happen that would cause trouble. Our system has been wonderful, but there are also the indicators that show our system is falling apart. It's coming apart at the seams. But if we never look, we never see. And we can encourage one another to look and see what we ought to do. Yes, pray, and yes, do something. Do something. And we probably all have a different idea of what to do. And that's good, because if we are all preparing in a different way, we can help each other differently. Will there be a collapse? And what do we do to prepare for it? Well, we see things going on in the world, and certainly we see the floods going on all over the country, all over the world. We see fires going on. There are things happening in our country and in the world that are showing us we probably should get prepared for some kind of a serious event. But there again, we have choices about what should we do. And we don't know the timing, but we do know the Bible predicts many hardships are coming our way. And are we in the end times? Well, there's so many people who say, yes, these are the end days. So what should we do to prepare, knowing that there is Matthew, Mark, and Luke that talks about what is coming? War, rumors of war, pestilence, famine, and a few more. What should we do? Well, the easy thing is food and water, water filter, a way to cook our food. It's going to be different for everyone, but if we do nothing, you know that we will be prepared for nothing. So know that something is coming, and know that you want to do something to prepare as we go through life and we repent of the things that are unholy and we pursue a holiness and relation with God Jesus. With all the problems that America has, America is still a land of great opportunity. Things are really wonderful in America compared to the rest of the world. We have a vast amount of blessings and opportunity in America that other countries just don't have. Somehow, we live with the richness and fullness of life in America, but if you talk to people who come to America from other countries, they say America is a land of opportunity. Today it is. And last year, 10 years ago, it was a land of opportunity, and it still is. But we the people who live here, have gotten so used to having good things and blessings that many of us only think about what we want and what we can have, and we forget to thank God for the blessings that we do have. So just give all these things a good look and figure out what you will want to do to pursue life and preserving your life with having supplies, including food. A friend of mine recently went on a cruise to, it was the Caribbean islands. And it was, he talked about how, what a great deal it was. 8 days on a vacation with great food, and I think it was $800. But it was something which he just thought that was a wonderful way to spend the money. But the big thing that he got to see was the countries that it went to in the Caribbean. And he met local people and even spent a few hours talking to several of the local people. And in the conversations that he had with them, he learned there was very, very little opportunity to get ahead in life. And through the conversation, he found out why. And then when he returned to mainland America, he realized America is still a land of great opportunity. We live in America, a land of great opportunity. And we can thank God that we live here. Now, we have noticed that Americans more and more only think about the things that they want, and that is talked about even in churches where people pray and ask God for more of what they already have, a better car, a bigger house, something which they want more of what they have, better everything, more expensive everything. And I kind of think that we would do well to be thankful to God for all that He has provided us. And it starts with our own bodies and brains. Thank you for that. And then we thank for all the things that are in front of us. Like I know I've heard pastors talk about our great God is rich and He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's in Psalm 50, and we have not because we ask not. That's Matthew 7:7, and it will be given to those pressed down, running over, and that's Luke 6:38. So my point is there are people who encourage us to have material things, these riches that we all seem to want, but there's more to life than that, and it can be in human relations and people who care for each other, love each other, and after all, that is what God tells us, that we're to love God and love our neighbor. It's a little more than that, but you can look it up, Luke 22:37. But our Bible is full of wisdom, and somehow we get to search out the wisdom in the Bible as we live around people and situations, as we pick out the words and the passages that bring us understanding and meaning. It's It's what we do when we belong to God through Jesus Christ. The Bible has the answers to many different situations. One that I like is we read our Bibles and study God's Word to show ourselves approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2:15. So let us read and study God's Word and seek to have the grace that He gives us, and that we give Him thanks for saving us from the fire of hell, and we pray for the sanctification that He gives us as we seek Him in His will. So we have such wonderful things, and let us remember the blessings that we have as we are around Christians and just people around us. We have a chance to share the goodness of the Scriptures, the Bible, of Jesus Christ and His goodness. So that's what we want to do. We want to share the love of Jesus with other people. It can be with the people we know and love. It can be with our fellow Christians. It can be with strangers. But this is one of the things that we do as Christians. We pray and seek the will of God. We go through life with so many experiences, and some of them are so wonderful, and some of them are just plain difficult. Well, I remember one experience that I had that was so beautiful. It was going to a small village in Thailand. It was a mission trip, and it was a plain and simple building, but it was their church. Even though it was a simple, small building, I mean like 30 feet by 50 or 60 feet, very small, and there were probably 40, maybe 50 people in the building for the Sunday service. And I remember the singing at that service. It was so beautiful. It was, I'm sure it just was beautiful, so beautiful. It's one of my fond memories about the things in life. And we all have the fond memories, and we look to them and remember the beautiful things in life, with people, with God, all of it. And it was kind of interesting, because at that church service, I did not speak their language, they did not speak my language, and the singing was just plain beautiful. It was just so wonderful. But we want to be able to talk to people about salvation and sanctification and the Scriptures. So that's what we find a way to do, whether it's locally or on a mission trip internationally. We all will do something to obey God and tell people about the good news of the Bible. Now, I found that as we seek God, we do have a more fullness of life. We have emotional and a physical experience also. And we search for intellectual understanding and emotional understanding. As we go through life and we get the fullness of the experience of life, thank you, Lord God, because there are beautiful and wonderful things in our life. And there are also mysteries of God. Yes, Lord, thank you for even having the things that we pursue with our mind. I think of the things in the Bible which we can pursue with our heart. Well, you can call it our hearts, you can call it our minds, but we are there pursuing God's truth and God's character. And we think of, what are we going to do in the world with our knowledge of God? I think we tell people about Jesus. And isn't that what Mark 16:15 tells us to do, where Jesus tells his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Now, we know the things that God likes. He tells us what he likes. And you may or may not consider yourself to be a disciple. But the thing is we know what God likes. He tells us that these are things that are good to do. So let's do the things that God likes and have a fuller relation with God Jesus as we pray and are obedient to his will. Let us please Jesus and do nice things for Jesus. Oh, yeah. Well, at the beginning of this year, I was thinking about the world situation and how things had really changed for every year, a little bit at a time. And I was concerned because I see reasons that there would be turbulence all over the world. This year, more than the year before, more than the year before. So we all have a different view of if this is normal or if this is turbulent, and will it turn towards wonderfulness or trouble? And we just don't know that. We have an idea of what the future holds, and we have the pattern of what goes on in a country. So we do have an idea of what will happen in this year and next year and the year after. But it's not the same as knowing that this or that is going to happen, except we do have the Bible that tells us what kind of things will happen. So let's read the Bible and figure out what to do, both prophetically and in a worldly way, when we make good decisions about what is in front of us and what we should be aware of, watch out for, and avoid the trouble that comes out of well, whatever trouble is coming our way. Let's just be careful. There could be, of course, earthquakes and wars. And we do have things going on right now in the world, even locally, where there are earthquakes, where there are things that we question and wonder about, how there could be earthquakes like there are on the Cascadia subduction zone and the San Andreas Fault and the New Madrid Fault Line. We are having earthquakes. We are having things go on. And does that mean that they're going to happen in a big way soon? And we just don't know. But we might as well get prepared for some things happening because, well, we know the direction they're going. And let's get a little prepared in case we have some big old system failures. System failures have been happening all over the world, and they might happen here. And they can be every sort of system failure. So get a little prepared. And I know in my study of history, I have seen things happen all over that have shown systems fail, governments fail, money fails, and everything can collapse in a big way. Does that mean it will? No, it doesn't mean it will, but it sure means that it could, and it probably will. We just don't know the timing. We can see the signs. We can see the symptoms. Things are going to happen. We see the indicators, and the things get stronger and stronger and more certain to show that we are living in quite uncertain times. So there again, let's get prepared. I think of the description of birth pangs. The pains of birth are in the Bible. And yes, they start out gentle, but they grow and grow and grow. And that's what is in the Bible, talking about the birth pangs in Matthew 24:8, that there are things coming, including the beginning of sorrows. And there's some things we can do to prepare for this and that. And sure, we might not be preparing the most we could or in the best way, but we can always do some preparation, and we always know there are things we're going to want. We're going to want to have clean water, good food. We're going to be able to cook our good food and have warmth in the home that we're in. So there are things we can do to prepare for hard times, even if we don't know what the sorrows are that'll come upon us. We don't know what'll happen to our neighbors. We just don't know. So get a little prepared and seek Jesus. If you have known Jesus, return to Jesus fully and completely. If you need to know Jesus, seek him. He's in the Bible, and we get to know God and his character. Well, there's a lot of things that we do not know, but, oh boy, you listen to people and they tell you, oh, here's one they tell you. The next events on the prophetic calendar is that Jesus is returning. Oh, well, that's a big thing to say, and it certainly depends on how you read Scripture. It may or may not be in the timeline that you are expecting. So be careful about that one. I know that there's a huge difference of people who feel like Jesus could return any time, any year now. And then we have people who's like Isaac Newton, who wrote more books on theology than he did on science. And he said, in his calculations, that Jesus would return about 2060. Lots of opinions. There's a man who I very much respect by the name of John Cook, and he says to expect 2032 as a time Jesus could return. So we do have many things that talk about the return of Jesus and the coming events. I ponder them a lot. And I think of like Joel Richardson, who says that we're going to be here through the tribulation. And you know what? All these people are good thinkers. They think very good and consider much scripture. And to me, what it shows is that we just plain and simple do not know what the future holds or the timing for what is coming. And therefore, let us study Scripture, let us pray to God, and let us seek to live according to God's will. And a part of that is with preparation. Whether we listen to this person or that, or the pastor at our church, or the person on the radio, we know that soon enough we are going to be in the season of everything. Whether it's the goodness of God or the sorrows that are coming about on the land. Will there be earthquakes and war and famine? Yes, but we still don't know the timing, except we know that it is going on right around now. Of what they will actually become is still a question that we don't know. But we do know the Bible is true. We do know that we can understand things in the Bible, and that is what we try to do as we live, to know the Bible is true and see what we can do to stay close to God and to preserve our life so that we can preach the good news of the gospel. Now, we do know the troubles because it tells us the troubles. Famine, earthquake, war. War can be terrorism. We can have terroristic events right in our very country, right in our very neighborhood. We could have the electricity go out. We could have the food not be delivered, the gasoline not be delivered. All these things have happened around the world. They're happening now. Countries are collapsing. Why? There are countries that are having hard times. China is in a terrible sign, terrible way. Russia too, Iran too, China, yes. There's Germany has long been held up as a strong part of the European economy, and they are having great problems with the German economy, and that could spread around the world. In fact, that's one of the things that's prophetic. That was Wilkerson, David Wilkerson, who talked about trouble starting in Germany and going to Japan and then to the United States and becoming a world crisis. So, what is happening? Well, we know there's reasons to be concerned. We know there are reasons to be prepared. We know in the world right now there are floods going on. There are roads being damaged, bridges getting washed out. And somehow we are being reminded of the floods. Does it remind you of Noah's flood? Yeah, it's a reminder, but it's not like Noah's flood. It's just that there are floods that are taking out bridges and roads and utilities. And somehow we know that these things are going to happen because our scientists predict them, our Bible predicts them. And what does it mean when we have a Cascadia subduction zone tsunami, an earthquake, a San Andreas earthquake, a New Madrid fault earthquake? What happens when Yellowstone has a volcanic explosion? Do we know that any of these things will happen? Not in particular and not in a time frame, but we can see the signs and we know that troubles can come our way. So let's look at the instability that there are around us and figure how we can add stability to our life so that we can get through a time of trouble. So yes, look at it. Figure out what you can do for the basic needs that you and the people around you have. Water, food, and warmth. How to cook your food. There's so much to consider. And yes, we are blessed. And yes, we have opportunities. But there are still things that we have to do to be wise as we confront the troubles around us. I think of troubles around us makes me think of Ephesians 5:16, which says, "Watch out for where we go, because the days are evil." Now, it uses a little different language, but that's the kind of direction it is in. Watch out what we do and where we go, because the days are evil. We always have evil people in the world, and we always have decent people. We even have godly people who love their neighbors. There's everything around us, and we have to be very careful for what is going on. We can see how people have been. Good people have gotten better, more pleasant, and the evil people have gotten more evil. And over a long lifespan, that seems to be what people do, get more wonderful or more evil. And we have had thousands of years to develop this pattern. And we see that there are snares around us. Well, that's what they're called. But, the Bible calls them traps or snares. And there are all sorts of snares to catch you and hold you in an evil grip. And that's a part of what we want to prepare for also, so that we do not get caught and snared by all sorts of things, either a habit or a sin or something else. I think of how bait is put out on a trap. Just think, you put bait on a mouse trap to catch a mouse, and we want to avoid the traps and the snares, and that means we have to focus on God and His holiness as we go through life. Sometimes life will be normal, and sometimes life will be so wonderful, Other times it'll be so much trouble. And we have a hard time changing from one thing to another because we expect normal to continue, whatever the normal pattern is for you. That is called normalcy bias, and that's a part of what every one of us has to be watchful, that we don't get caught into that trap of normalcy bias, where we just expect normal to continue, where we can buy gas at the gas station, or groceries at the grocery stores, or hardware items at the hardware store. Now, sometime we might not be able to get what we need in the past. After all, we are in a certain kind of a war where countries are opposing the USA, and we are having trouble getting many of the things that we used to get easily. It's going to become a world where there are shortages and hard things to find. And there are plenty of people who are sounding the alarm these days. People are saying, look out, the system could very easily break down. And so, let's get a little bit prepared for in case the system does break down. Well, we see it breaking down a little bit at a time. So let's us get prepared for that just in case. We can see the direction, but we don't know the timing. Do we have another day, another year, another decade? Do we have no time? Are things going to fall apart next week or next year? It's all a matter of we are told what will happen in the Bible, but we are not told what the timing is. But we do see the signs of distress that our whole system is having trouble. So let's get prepared for the just in case we have a seriously bad time. We don't want to get caught in a difficult position, so get prepared. Prepare in a way that you possibly can in case something will happen. And more we see the pattern that it actually will happen. And we want to get prepared. We want to show the love for our family and our neighbors. And that means having some extra things that we can share. Of course, it can be the most basic things, which are water and food. And then there's warmth. Do you have warm clothes? Do you have sleeping bags for the people in your family? Do you have people, whatever it is, for things for people around you? That's another thing we can easily do, but we all do it different, and we all do what we know and understand. And that's the advantage of being a community, so that we all do something a little bit different, and then we all help each other. In hard times, that is what happens. People either become kind to other people, or they become selfish and take advantage of everyone else. And that's a part of what we have to do to be cautious and careful so that we don't get taken advantage of or robbed or even killed. There are plenty of people out there who are so desperate that they will rob, steal, and cheat you just to get what they need. That is a part of what some people do. They want what they want, and we have been teaching the evolutionary theory, which say only the strong survive. And so we have been teaching our young people that they have to be strong or even ruthless to survive what difficulties are coming. Now, you don't know what they are, and I don't know what they are. Well, I guess you could say the Bible tells us. War, earthquakes, an illness, or some kind of a epidemic, and famine. Yes, the Bible does tell us, but we don't know what the timing is. So we can always do something to prepare for the people we know and will love and even the people we don't know and don't love, because this is a wonderful way to bring people to Christ, to show your love. But you have to do it with wisdom. Let's be smart about what we do. Be careful, be smart, show your love to people, but don't get taken advantage of, and don't get hurt, and don't get killed, and don't let the innocent people around you get hurt or killed either. This has been going on for a long time, thousands of years, really. But just look at the last month. We see examples of how people have been hurt or killed, taken advantage of in one way or another. And somehow we have to use our wisdom so that we protect the people around us, the innocent people around us, and ourselves. We have to be smart. And sometimes that will be to have a group of people around us. That would sure change life, wouldn't it, if we had to live with a group of people around us? Makes me think of the early days of America, where there were forts, and everybody lived inside the fort, and they protected their area. They protected their gardens and their manufactured goods so that they could live longer and more comfortable. Well, we can only guess what the coming days are going to bring, but we do know that there is trouble within view. It's on the horizon, and it is happening in the world around us. Now, will it come to our neighborhood? Will it come to our country? It might. It might. And a lot of people are saying that it will. So we get to evaluate what it is around us and not get caught in our habits, our normalcy bias. And we get to evaluate what is in front of us and around us and take preparedness steps so that we can survive, that we can live a good and godly life, and that we can protect the innocent that are around us. We can prepare, and we can know that the system, our system, can have trouble. It can crash, and things can happen either intentionally or by accident. So there is every possibility in front of us that things will continue in a good way, easy way, or that things will collapse into a great big huge problem. There can be natural disasters all around us, and there are natural disasters in our neighborhood, in our world, in our country, and there are events happening that can get ever so much more serious. So it's only sensible to get prepared for the just in case, and perhaps even for the collapse. Well, we are going to live with the goodness of God in our hearts and practice holiness, pursue holiness. And that's what we are going to pursue. And God will not allow the corruption that is going on. We can see there is judgment going on and systems collapsing. It's a Babylonian system around us. Will God allow it to continue? Yes, but for how long? And maybe not for another day even. That's something we just don't know. When will the fullness of iniquity come about? God does allow floods and hurricanes and fires and earthquakes. And a part of this is to bring those who are sinful and corrupt trouble that they deserve. It's also to bring the people of God out of a Babylonian system. There are things that we ponder when we read our scripture. Like in Revelation 18:4, it says, "Come out of her, my people." So, how do we leave Babylon? After all, we know there are plenty of consequences as we read Revelation chapter 18. And maybe we need to read that again, because it gives us an idea of the collapse that is coming. Again, we don't know when, but it's in the Bible, so we know it will happen. Let us be motivated to live a holy life. as that Revelation 18:4 says, to come out of her, my people. Now, there's so many people who expect to be raptured before there is any difficulty. But that is a highly disputed area, with many people thinking very different thoughts. So we might have to face wars and earthquakes and pandemics and famines. We don't know the truth order of what will happen, but we know there are things that will happen. We just don't know when. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. They're all going to happen. So get prepared and look out for your neighbor and the people who you love. All of it. Live a godly life. You can always listen to broadcasts again for Christ Today at www.christtoday.org. And stay close to Jesus. Learn the Word of God in the Bible. And then live with wisdom. Be careful. And show the love of Jesus wisely to other people. God bless you.